broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The most popular name in the United Kingdom, Great Britain.
We don't know how that works long term. We might bring it back. We might bring back something similar to it.
I was astounded at how they treated us.
We were just trying to have a good time.
When I was growing up, I played softball. And if we missed it,
I forgot he was black tonight.
How do you like those apples?
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And through the looking glass, we go every night where truth is our bitch. We go places other talk shows can't go because if they tried, well, it's a little scary. Let's put it that way. And we have no fear. We ain't got much of anything. We ain't got any fear, though. 877-876-PHIL. Well, we work the third shift, you know. 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, online at philhendryshow.com, where you can go and watch live streaming video and listen to live streaming audio of the show. And you can access thousands of hours of downloads. You can access all kinds of other features, podcasts. We've got classic Phil podcasts, daily podcasts. We have our news feed, and you have guaranteed email response from your brother Phil. It isn't always going to be the most polite, but you know how it is. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL is our number. We are broadcasting here from the El Pacifico. And it was, before we get back to Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, who is on the line with us, and we are talking about you guys at the polling booths today. And most of you were okay. And when I say okay, I'm going to be very, very clear about this. I don't understand where this man has a right, Mr. Santos, and this auxiliary police and other auxiliary police that he's working with in Nevada, West Virginia, state of Washington, where they have the right to go into the line and ask you to leave if you're not dressed properly. Out here, by the way, at the El Pacifico today, we had people lining the beach, not necessarily going in, but people were standing on the sand looking at a series of sets of waves that were coming in, I'd say around 5 o'clock this afternoon, 10, 15-foot waves, and pretty big surf, and a lot of individual surfers with a more, you know, gutsy spirit than myself were out there at least trying to ride some of those things. They were pretty big waves for these parts. 877-876-PHIL. And Jay, I don't imagine you saw those where you were, huh?
I didn't see any of the surf over here on the South Bay, Phil, but I understand the surf's going to get a little bit higher up. We're toward the Santa Barbara, Ventura County area.
All right, now, Jay, in line today were people that you sent home because they weren't dressed. How many people were you successful at getting to send home?
Well, we had enough people who were, first of all, we said to people, this is voting, this is a very important part of our responsibility as citizens, and you are dressed in a manner which is very sloppy. You look very sloppy. And they would, a lot of times people were rude and look at me and say, I look like, and I'll use the word, the F word. Called me, I look like a fairy, look like queer. I was insulted, so were most of my sub-commanders.
And, well, wouldn't you expect that?
Well, not necessarily, Mr. Henry. If I'm telling people, this is something you should have respect for, the voting booth and your rights as a voter and your rights to go and vote, and you turn around and look at me and say, I look like a fairy.
Let me ask you about the uniform you wear, though. You were sending people home. You wear a Citizens Auxiliary Police uniform, which I imagine changes from one auxiliary police to the next?
No, we all wear the same thing.
No, I mean, for instance, you in California as opposed to Nevada?
Nevada, with the commanders of Nevada, they have they wear a separate kind of a helmet. We wear a pith helmet and with a blue armband and generally a pair of Bermuda shorts or something that is in keeping with the weather.
Okay, so a pith helmet, Bermuda shorts, and did you say something about wingtips?
We wear a dress shoe, yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-PHIL.
Well, hold on for a minute. What's that got to do with anything?
Well, to me, that sounds pretty silly. I mean, I could say that, couldn't I?
Well, maybe I think you look silly.
Well, you may think I look silly, and there's a lot of things in this world that look silly. But if you're standing there in Bermuda shorts and a pith helmet telling a guy he's got to go home because he's got a pick in his hair, where do you get the right?
I have the right as an American citizen to simply say, you look pretty funky. And that's why, you know, I mean, if you want to stand there and look like just the funkiest, I mean, I guess that's your business.
Well, defining funky. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jonathan in San Antonio. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Jonathan, go ahead.
How you doing, Phil?
Very good.
I'm a combat veteran. I've served in two wars. As a combat medic, I've been in way more situations that would probably make him piss his Bermuda shorts. But I tell you what.
Whatever. I ain't got nothing to do with anything.
I'll vote in whatever uniform I want to wear. I wore athletic shorts and an athletic T-shirt because I was going to hit the gym up after I voted. So,
which I admire you for, but then you come back here and dress like you're going to some, excuse me for saying this, but it sounds like you're ready to hit a gay bar or something, the way the way you're dressed.
Gay bar.
All right, okay, watch it, okay?
Well, I'm saying he's in his shorts, and then he goes to hit the gym. So,
yeah.
I have to ask myself.
You got to stay fit. I mean,
you got to stay fit, and you got to vote, too. What do you wear? Do you wear a suit and tie to go work out, sir? No, you don't. You wear appropriate clothing. Yeah. So why don't you wear appropriate clothing when you go to vote? If you go to
I'm not gonna drive home to put on a suit to go vote. It's just you are a fascist. You're nothing but garbage. I cannot believe.
There was a time when people got dressed up to go to vote. You understand, sir? There was a time when people got on a coat and tie and would go down and vote. If you go to work out, you wear your workout clothes, which I understand. You go to vote, why aren't you wearing, you ought to, if you want my opinion, I'd dress like Uncle Sam. That's what I think people ought to wear.
Is that right? Uncle Sam, huh?
Well.
You want everybody to wear a top hat with the stars and stripes on it?
You know, I am a combat veteran. I will vote however I want to.
Yeah.
This country.
I know. You told me. Don't bring that out. Don't bring that out too often. People will think you're kidding. Just a word to the wise.
Why? What right do you have to tell people that they can't do that? I fought so people can dress however they want.
Well, you didn't exactly fight. You were a combat veteran. I thought you were a medic.
Yeah,
so you
I'm
fought,
a combat
yes, you,
medic.
Yes. You're a combat medic, so you didn't fight.
Fire.
You didn't
the hell
fight
are
for
you?
The country. You evacuated for the country.
What do you mean he evacuated for the country?
He didn't fight for the country. He's a non-combatant. So he,
I'm
like,
not a non-combatant.
Carried, well, didn't you? You like? So you did fight? You did shoot people? I thought they couldn't do that.
Never mind. Anyway, thank you very much for your service, Jonathan, to the country. Very good point. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Susan in Greensboro, North Carolina. Susan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos.
Hey, Phil. I just discovered your show. Last
yes,
week,
ma'am.
And I love it. Love it.
Thank you.
And I just want to say that I appreciate your guest. That it's I appreciate his respect for the voting and the importance of it.
Thank you very much.
And what's
Thank
most
you.
Important is to remember the sanctity of voting. So what someone is wearing is not important as long as they have something on.
I said to the guy, and I kind of got him tripped up, but you wear certain kind of clothes when you go hike or walk or wherever you do, ma'am, right? Like, say you go and do yoga. Don't you wear, like, a yoga suit?
Right.
Okay. If you wear a yoga suit and you go to do yoga, then when you go to vote, why wouldn't you wear your, like, voting clothes?
Well,
I don't know, man.
People are very, very busy these days, and they don't have time to go home and change just to go vote.
But you would go home and change for yoga.
A lot of people carry their yoga clothes with them.
Aha! So why not carry your voting clothes with you?
What is it with you, man? So, all right, maybe we ought to change into clothes. But the fact is, the law says we can wear whatever we want when we vote. In fact, the law says we can wear whatever we want when we go to yoga, if you want to get right down to it.
Oh, my God. You're going to tell me you wear a three-piece suit in yoga?
If I felt like it, yeah. I'd go to yoga class in a three-piece suit.
With your beard and your long hair and all that?
Yes, I would.
Well, I actually do yoga at home.
God. Yes, ma'am?
I actually do yoga at home. And I'm a CPA.
You can do it nude if you want.
Yeah. Will you do PTA too, Susan?
No, I'm a CPA. That's an accountant CPA. And I work from home. So
I work for the Red Cross?
No, CPA, not CPR.
I'm an accountant.
You know how to count?
I'm an accountant.
What's that?
I do books.
You're in town? How long are you in town for?
She said accountant.
An accountant.
Right. So you are on a... You read books? I didn't hear what she said.
All right. In any way, Susan, so what do you do? So you're very busy. You're a CPA.
Yeah, I work from home. So I
right, you work from home.
Like sweatpants, pajamas.
There
most
you go.
Of the time,
there
unless I'm dealing with people. And
there you go.
And so,
it's a great thing. That's what telecommuting is. Telecommuting, we're at home. And then if you want to do your yoga, you could probably do your yoga in your pajamas, couldn't you?
Yes,
well, Susan, it's Jay Tano, Susan. Well, you know, I don't mean to be crude. I'll get a picture of that sometime. You doing yoga and then going to your accountant thing. It's all like you're doing that in your panties or something?
No, she said her pajamas.
Oh.
Coming next time that there's a vote in 2 years, come to Greensboro, North Carolina, and
yes,
you can
ma'am.
See me in my sweat casting my vote, because that's probably what I will be wearing.
You know something? I think you're just a wonderful person. I would love to see you get a nice pantsuit or something. Like Hillary Clinton. That way we know you respect the process and you're not laying around your house like you do nude doing your yoga.
She's not nude doing yoga. Thank you, Susan. Thank you very much. People do have that right. You know, the best analogy you made today, and then you blew it, was saying, don't you wear your gym clothes when you go to the gym.
Right.
And then you said, why not dress respectfully when you go to the polling place? And I thought that was a very nice way of putting it, Jay, but then you blew it. By saying, well, what is that? Are you nude in your house? Should you wear your pajamas? You screw stuff up.
I talk about I screw stuff up.
You don't. You made a good point, but that's about as good a point as you're going to make, because the fact is, if I wanted to, now that lady said she does yoga in her pajamas.
See, I find that suspicious, because if you're at home and you're doing yoga, why wouldn't you do nude?
You're really with the nude, aren't you, man?
If she's my wife and she's doing yoga, I'd ask her, how come you're not doing it nude, because I'm your husband? And she'd be all, see, these are things that I look at.
Yeah, you're a real detective, man, aren't you?
Well, it's one of the things that makes a special citizen's auxiliary police.
Uh-huh. So you're such a detective that if your wife was doing yoga in her pajamas, that'd kind of be a red flag, huh?
I think it would be, yeah.
Well, what would that mean?
Well, I think it would probably mean she, you know, doesn't want me to see her nude.
Your wife?
That's right.
That would be pretty weird, wouldn't it?
I think it would be. I think it would be indicative of some kind of sexual hang-up or some deal like that.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe she's just afraid of you.
I beg your pardon?
Maybe she's afraid of you.
Why my wife going to be afraid of me?
Well, gee, I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police in our final segment as we talk about Jay and his Citizens Auxiliary Police, or the Commanders of Nevada, or the whatever the hell it was, the Werewolves of Washington, and telling people to go home and get dressed better before they vote. Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, I get it. You think I'm nuts.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
You made a few comments that I think need to be addressed.
No, Jay, you know, I am saying that the things you're saying here sound very extreme to people. That's all I'm saying.
You brought my wife into it, though, Phil, and that's what I'm not understanding.
No, I didn't bring your... I brought your wife as an example. When you were talking to that young lady about wearing her pajamas when she's, you know, engaging in yoga, and all of this has to do with what we're supposed to wear when we go to the voting booth. You and the Citizens Auxiliary Police today were telling people that they were inappropriately dressed to vote and sending some people home, and that's what we're addressing. Dan in Chattanooga, Tennessee, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Dan, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Actually, I was calling. I'm sorry, I kind of tuned in a little bit late tonight, but I'm actually a police officer down in the southeast, and I'm trying to figure out this auxiliary police group. Are they auxiliaries to whatever local agency they're near, or is this a citizen, or just a purely citizens group? What?
Jay, how do you describe yourselves?
Well, Mr. Henry and I always get into kind of an interesting conversation, Dan, about this. I tell Phil that we are an auxiliary police unit that attempts to assist our local police in spotting trouble before it happens. I'm not saying that we're, you know, officially affiliated with them, but I am saying that we're not no neighborhood watch neither.
Okay, but I just want to ascertain that you don't have any executive authority, you don't have like powers of arrest, any, you're not certified, anything like that.
Well, I mean, we do have citizens arrest, don't we? Yes, we do.
Well, certainly, I mean, every citizen has that, but I'm talking about actually formalized arrest powers like a state certified law enforcement officer would have.
Well, no, I mean, all I did was take my auxiliary police officers and ask people, how come you got your pants hanging halfway down your rear end? I didn't know that's against the law, is it?
No, it's not. You can talk. You can ask anyone any question you want, as long as it's as long as you're within
the
bounds of decency.
There you go. And
right.
Dad,
well,
I got the comfort.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The law, at least down here, in Georgia, the law does not state a specific dress code for a polling place, provided, of course, that you're not naked, obviously.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. How do you know exactly what that constitutes? If you say
that's where common sense comes in.
I understand. What if a guy's wearing a swimming trunks? What if he's wearing swimming trunks?
Okay, I mean, is he wearing like a European Speedo? What? I mean,
it's a Speedo. He's wearing a Speedo with nothing else. Like his underwear.
Well, if he's wearing that, then he could possibly fall under the state's indecency laws. But if he's just wearing swimming trunks, I mean, did the guy have a shirt on?
Well, he had what he might call a shirt. The rest of us, I don't know what we'd call it. You can see right through it.
What was it, one of those mesh shirts?
He had the mesh, basket for, his you-know-what. That's hanging there. And
yeah, but the swimming trunks were covering that up.
Exactly. However, if he was on a ladder and you were looking up, you'd see it.
Okay, but how is he going to be on a ladder at a polling place?
Well, that's true, but my concern was you can
hypothesize this issue basically,
yes,
to the end of time, if you choose to, sir, but...
Well, I don't want
to
do that.
You have to deal with practicalities.
Yes. He had on a bathing suit and flip-flops. He's standing there with some kind of a mesh jersey that they used to wear, like, in football. He's got, a number something or other and the name of some Atlanta Falcon, some guy. And he had his arms folded in shades. Now, that right there, I'm thinking...
Okay, but now, and also, let me... If I may, sir, I'm having
yes,
to skip several points in the interest of time here, because I know I only have
yes,
a short
sir.
Amount of time on this call. But you're talking about you and your group, what did you say, your sub-commanders?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're saying that y'all do wear a uniform, and in the sense that y'all have the armband and you're all dressed similarly, correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Okay, did you not take into account that people may see this and be intimidated simply because this is a semi-official looking thing, and they may assume when they
I want to make sure that I'm Citizens Auxiliary Police. They know that I got the blue armband on, and they know if I say your stuff's hanging out.
Does the armband have the word police on it?
No, it's just a blue armband, and we have our insignia, which is of a Wolverine that's being let out of a cage and going up a hill.
Your insignia is what? It's on the armband.
It's on the armband, right. It's a Wolverine or a werewolf, if you will, scooting from a cage up a hill and then leaping toward the sun.
Okay, sir, you're associating yourself with
leaping to the sun
in a Democratic
society. Police. There's nothing that says police. It's just a werewolf that's leaping at the sun. It's an insignia.
You would verbally name your group if you were asked that question, correct?
Citizens Auxiliary Police, right. Well, they do have, for instance, the commanders of Nevada. They don't say anything about police.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You guys don't call yourselves cops, but then...
You asked me if we had a...
You're going to... The word police will be in your answer. And
that's true.
And also, if you're, if you know, what, whatever, you know, maybe your associate group calling themselves werewolves. I mean, the last time I heard werewolves associated with a group, they were talking about a group of Nazis.
Oh, no. Now, this is a group, this is a traditional group of werewolves in the sense of people that, you know, are trying to keep the law in order, even as there's certain metaphysical things. First of all, vampires were first...
The world famous.
Yeah, you like her a lot.
Henry Show.
What do you mean I like her a lot?
You do.
Bud's talking about Jamie Colby.
She's pretty hot, though.
Yeah, remember you always talking about her.
Jamie Colby on.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, she's very pretty. I think she's probably the prettiest. Look, man, let's not get into this right now if you don't mind.
She's pretty hot, though. There's no question about it. Who's that lady there? Her face is crooked.
Will you shut up, man? That's Melanie Wilkes from Washington. She happens to be a correspondent for the news service that we happen to be watching right now. I guess we're watching it like everybody else. Why do we watch Fox? I don't know. It's just more watchable. You know, it's not like I got nothing against CNN. Maybe it's because CNN's boring. I don't know what it is. I can tell you this much. I don't watch Fox for any of the other stuff, you know.
Yeah, you have watched O'Reilly in a long time. That's true. I backed that up.
That's true. You did watch Sean Hannity today. I did see that.
Well, I was watching Sean today because he was anchoring the news coverage. But let's take a look at this situation here in these here United States right now. It is 12:34 on the West Coast, so it is 3:34 on the East Coast, and it is 11:34 in Alaska. And right now it's too close to call in Alaska. We'll give you that when we can. But as for the rest of the country, jubilant GOP won the House. They fell short of winning the Senate. Resurgent Republicans won control of the House. They cut deeply into the Democrats' majority in the Senate in momentous midterm elections shadowed by recession, ushering in a new era of divided government certain to complicate the final 2 years of President Barack Obama's term. House Speaker-in-waiting John Boehner, voice breaking with emotion, declared shortly before midnight Tuesday that the results were a repudiation of Washington, a repudiation of big government, and a repudiation of politicians who refused to listen to the people. Obama monitored returns at the White House, then telephoned Boehner with congratulations in a call that underscored the power shift. Incomplete returns showed the GOP picked up at least 59 House seats. That's the biggest party turnover in 70 years, folks. In 70 years. So that is, what are we talking about in 70? 1940? Since 1940, and they led for six more, far in excess of what was needed for a majority. Among the losers was Representative Tom Perriello, a first-termer from Virginia for whom Obama campaigned just before the election. On a night of triumph, Republicans gained at least six Senate seats, and Tea Party favorites Rand Paul in Kentucky, Mike Lee in Utah, and Marco Rubio in Florida were among the winners. But Christine O'Donnell lost badly in Delaware for a seat that Republican strategists once calculated would be theirs with ease. Christine O'Donnell in her concession speech.
So although the outcome isn't what we all worked so hard for, our voice was heard, will continue to be heard. So I hope and pray that you are as encouraged as I am. And we've got a lot of food. We've got the room all night. So God bless you. So let's party.
Here's Senator-elect and Tea Party-backed Marco Rubio. He won with little more than 50% of the vote against independent Charlie Crist and Democrat Kendrick Meeks.
Tomorrow or even now, the stories are being written about what this election is about. What does it mean? We still don't know all the results from around this country. But we know that tonight the power in the United States House of Representatives will change hands. We know tonight that a growing number of Republicans will now serve in the Senate as well. And we make a grave mistake if we believe that tonight these results are somehow an embrace of the Republican Party. What they are is a second chance. A second chance for Republicans to be what they said they were going to be not so long ago.
All right, anyway, the GOP also arrested 10 governorships from the Democrats, Ohio and Pennsylvania among them, and they gave two back, California and Hawaii. In New York, Andrew Cuomo won the office his father, Mario, held for three terms. In California, Edmund G. Brown Jr. was successful in his bid for a comeback to the governor's office he occupied for two terms more than a quarter century ago. Meg Whitman, how she lost that race is anybody's guess. Three occupied for two term. What the hell am I looking? Oh, three Senate races were too close to call, including the one up there in Alaska. In the other audio that we have for you, so what do we have? Just a Marco Rubio. Oh, here is the cat there in. I say cat with all due respect. The gentleman, the man in West Virginia. This is Joe Manchin. Democrat Joe Manchin is the new senator-elect from the state of West Virginia.
Leaving the governor's office was one of the toughest decisions I had to make. And we achieved so much as a state working together. But I can tell you, I'm proud of what we've been able to do. I have proud of every one of our accomplishments. But when I look at what challenges we have ahead of us in Washington, I know it's time to take that fight there.
And here is Tea Party. Let's see. This is Tea Party back Senator-elect Rand Paul in Kentucky.
I have a message. A message from the people of Kentucky. A message that is loud and clear and does not mince words. We've come to take our government back.
All right, so
give some perspective on it.
I'm going to give perspective on it. Here's the perspective on it, okay? You want some perspective?
Yeah, that's we're waiting for that, man.
All right. First of all, one of the things that people continually forget, and it's amazing that we forget it, but, you know, elections are like Super Bowls. They're like ball games. We won. It's exciting. And then a week later, you're thinking, wow, you know, it's kind of wears off. And now you're down to the actual business of what's going on. Now, here's the problem. And we saw glimpses of this. A guy says that I don't like big government and I don't like the big government medical insurance plan of Obama, but I want you to make sure that you maintain Medicare and Social Security. So right away, I'm not criticizing any of those positions, but right away, there's confusion. No, there isn't, Phil. We just want representation. All right. Okay. That also is an overplayed and over just work to death slogan. You want representation. You got it, man. What is it about voting every 2 years for a congressperson and every 6 years for a senator and every 4 years for a president and every so often for an assembly person and a state senator and city council? What is it about that process that people still don't get?
That's what I was going to say.
What do you mean that's what you were going to say?
Yeah, everybody's voting because of people voting and stuff.
Right, well,
now let him talk.
Oh, hold on, bud. But you're right, if you agree. So the idea that we don't have representation is all, and then the most unseemly comparisons to the Founding Fathers, what are you talking about? Let me tell you how it is. I this isn't Keith Olbermann here. I wouldn't spit on that clown if he was on fire. As a matter of fact, if he was on fire, I might get out the weenies and marshmallows. So this isn't some progressive guy. What I'm trying to do is lay the truth on you. That the Tea Party people and the people that say they don't like big government and the people that say that they don't like not being, you know, represented and the people that say they don't like all this. Yes, they do. They like to have their Social Security. And they want to have their Medicare. Right? And they want to have their small business loans, student loans. Yes, they want all of that. That doesn't sound to me like less government. Because I was hearing that from these cats who were talking. They were bagging on Obama. And, you know, Obama, I'm telling you, if a president could butcher, you know, the first 2 years of a presidency better than this guy, I don't know who it was. Part of it was that jive-ass Emanuel he had. The other part of it were those two clowns he had running the game in the Congress. But the fact of the matter is, when you heard Tea Party people talking, you weren't hearing people say they wanted less government. You were hearing what all Americans say. I just want my kind of government. Now, these guys are going to get to Washington, whether it's Rand Paul or whether it's any, they're all going to get to Washington, and they're going to begin to, you know, get settled in. They're going to get settled in with a lot of heavy hitters in the Senate. They're going to get settled in with a lot of heavy hitters in the House of Representatives. They're going to find out that their agenda is not necessarily the number one agenda. They're going to have to, you know, play the system. They're going to have to work the system. They're going to be a part of a larger machine. What's the big effort? What is going to be the big effort? What are these guys going to do when they get to Washington? The first thing I heard was that they are going to make sure that the Bush tax cuts stay in place. And that's, I hear that's a fait accompli. Okay, that's good. Now, what's the next thing they're going to do? What do you think?
Probably get rid of health care.
Get rid of health care. That's going to be really interesting. Are they going to try to repeal it?
Well, it's big government and everything.
Oh, really? I'm going to make a prediction that when they go after the health care legislation that has been passed, now they're going to try to improve it. They're going to try to maybe even put a little bit of ownership into it. They may even try to rewrite a few things to make themselves look like they're just as big a hero as Obama. They ain't going to repeal anything. You want to know why? Because the very people that elected them don't want them to.
Yeah, they do, man. They said they don't want all the government.
No, they don't. No, they don't, man. You don't put something in place like that, health care reform, and put that in front of people, even to the extent that they have. You don't do that. And then say you're going to repeal it. It isn't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. What they're going to try to do is they're going to try to get a little ownership going on that thing and try to repeal aspects of it or improve other aspects of it. All I'm trying to tell you, here's the big read on this election, folks. This is a whole bunch of fresh-faced new people with very powerful lungs and lots of anti-government rhetoric and lots of anti-Obama rhetoric and lots of this and lots of that. But when they get there to Washington, D.C., and they sit down and they look around themselves at the Capitol Dome and they got Boehner standing there and Reid and they got all these guys that have been there for years and years and years and years and years. Rand Paul, he's going to do. What does Rand Paul think he's going to do? He's going to stand there and tell some of these old timers how it is and where it's at and how they're going. They're going to tell him to shut up and sit down. When they finally get to Washington and they figure out how that game's played, and the first guy that a lot of these Tea Party people are going to be told, the facts of life from will be this guy Boehner, their hero. Guess what?
Yeah, you're going to say Boehner's going to tell him to shut up.
Boehner's going to tell him to get to the back of the line. You better believe it. And you know, he's going to say, look, I know how this game's played. I know how to talk to the president. I know how to talk to, whoever. I know how to talk to Harry. I know what's going on. You guys don't, okay? Yeah, but we were elected. I understand why you were elected. We're going to go to Washington and do all this. No, yeah, isn't that wonderful? Now sit down and shut up. That's what's going to happen. You mark my words. And, in 2 years, here's what's going to happen. In 2 years, there's going to be a two storyline. One is going to be, we've done the best we can, but we got to get rid of Obama because he really screwed us up. And the other will be, look what I did. I held off these Republicans who tried to dismantle health care and they tried to dismantle the finance reform and they weren't able to do it. That's going to be Obama's story in 2 years, as God is my witness, because they won't be able to. And I'm not saying that I wish that they couldn't. I'm not wishing them ill. I'm just telling you how it's going to play out.
You don't know, man. People hate the health care reform and everything.
Really? Do they really hate health care reform? People don't even know what the hell it's about. People don't know what it can do, what it can't do. Most of the people that figure it out, finally, no matter whether they're conservative or liberal, like it on some level. So anyway, that's that part. Then the other part are the Tea Party thing. Now, this is really, really important. This is what I really should have started talking to you about. All these extreme candidates, and I say extreme, I don't mean extreme. I should say the primary process is not made for moderates. The primary process is not made for the party traditionalists. The primary process is always taken over by the new blood radicalists, the new blood, elite, the Tea Partiers. The primary process means that all of the really active voters go out. The really active voters are who? Those are the Tea Party people. That's why you got Christine O'Donnell. That's why you got Palladino or whatever the hell his name is. That's you got all these people, and that's why they got their ass kicked, because by the time the election rolls around, people take a look at them and go, and that's why this angle. That's why angle. got her ass handed to her. They should have had that guy Tarkanian or that other one, Loudon. They probably had a way better chance of beating Reed than some Tea Party person. A lot of these people are very ham-fisted. They don't speak very well. They have a lot of really stupid ideas and opinions that they think are very populist, and they find out that they aren't, like that Paladino jackass. He's talking about gays like everybody in the world thinks that way. Then he finds out, no, they don't. And the same thing with that Rand Paul. He's talking down that civil rights legislation until he finds out if anybody reads a history book, which nobody in his campaign has. He realizes he's on the wrong side of that one, so he's got to backpedal, and he survived. The rest of them, forget it. They're too weird, they're too extreme, and they get their ass kicked when they get into a campaign with a seasoned campaigner. And that's what happened. That's what the Tea Party people, that's what anybody that votes needs to understand. If you think your party, the primary process is a process whereby the very best candidate makes it to the... No. The best candidate, I guess, in terms of the people in the party voting for that person, but sometimes the only people voting are the weird asses.
So you're saying that all the weird asses voted for the Republican, but the normal people voted for the Democrat.
And most of the Democrats were incumbents. So they were already, there's no primary process. They really had to survive to any great degree. Whereas with the Republicans, it was all brand new, and they were all brand new weird asses. And at least in three cases, you know, they went down for the count. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The number is 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, our website, philhendryshow.com. We'll tell you the fate of marijuana in California. Did Prop 19 pass, or did it go up in smoke? Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now, on the other side, you have this guy, Grayson. Now, here's a guy that has never, I don't think he ever really realized how far away from reality he was, you know, especially when you use terms like Taliban Dan. So that means that I'm a Democrat, and because the national security issue is traditionally taken away from Democrats by Republicans, I'm going to create some sort of a new patriotic image for myself, and I would call my opponent Taliban Dan because he seemed to have said some things that were negative about women, and that makes him just like the enemy of America, which he also said the enemies of America are in Iraq and in Afghanistan and Iran, he said, this guy Grayson, but I'm sure he wouldn't carry that over to anything militaristic, just that's where our enemies are. This is a guy that, like a lot of progressives, casts around for a patriotic cloak to wear, and just, it don't fit, man. It doesn't fit. Nobody believes it. You don't believe it. You come off as an angry guy, and you think you're a populist, and you're about as populist as Pat Buchanan was back in the 90s. Remember when he thought he was leading a revolution? A revolution of what, five guys? Pat Buchanan, yeah, he had a revolution going, but he wasn't the guy that was going to lead it, you know. Brazen, combative, and unabashedly liberal, U.S. Representative Alan Grayson's meteoric congressional career crashed to earth Tuesday after one term. Nice going, chump. The Florida Democrat didn't fall to a Tea Party newcomer, but to Daniel Webster.
Yeah, Danny, the guy that debated Lincoln.
Yeah, that's right. The guy that debated Lincoln. Wow.
You kidding me or something, man?
No, but that was the name of the guy, right?
Yeah, that might have been the name. Not a Daniel Webster. No, that was Stephen Douglas, you nut. Daniel Webster was from Massachusetts.
Will you get out of here?
Debated Lincoln.
Who debated Lincoln?
Stephen Douglas. Daniel Webster, one of the state's most experienced Republican politicians. Webster spent 28 years in the Florida legislature when he served as House Speaker and Senate Majority Leader. That's in Florida. With 78% of the expected vote counted, Webster had 56%, Grayson 39. In typical Grayson fashion, the incumbent labeled his opponent Taliban Dan in an ad that critics called misleading. It created a backlash in Webster's favor. Grayson, whose district covers Metro Orlando, made no apologies for the ad or his brash personality that landed him frequent appearances on national cable television. Since the wealthy Orlando lawyer took office in early 2009, he has said the GOP health care plan is don't get sick, and if you do get sick, die quickly, and described a Federal Reserve advisor as a K Street whore, later apologizing for it. He also called White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs Bozo the spokesman for chastising left-wing critics of the Obama administration. Well, that kind of talk made the 52-year-old congressman a darling of the left and a prime target for national Republicans and Tea Party activists. People want a congressman with guts, Grayson said. They want someone who's paying attention, getting things done for the benefit of our ordinary people, he said in typical populist fashion. But could he? No! Beyond the talk, though, Grayson pushed to keep people facing foreclosure in their homes, bragged of bringing more federal dollars into his district, and advocated a bigger federal role in stimulating the economy. Webster, 61, is Grayson's polar opposite, politically and temperamentally. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so Grayson's dead meat. And then we have in Alaska, still no, you know, we're not going to have anything in Alaska, baby, until...
Yeah, probably till the sun rises, but in Alaska it never goes down, right? Isn't that right?
Shut up, man.
In Alaska, folks, we don't have nothing. In California, Proposition 19 went down to defeat 56.5 to 43.5. Boy, if you didn't see that coming. The Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz, our technical director, Charles Wagon, and our associate producer and screener is Dan Northcraft, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. It's all dotted up in Alaska.
Phil Hendry.